Motherfucker Tuesday.
Welcome to another Tuesday episode.
What is that?
I don't know. I'm just excited to be on the pod with you, chit-chatting about things.
We're back. You know, I feel like I'm with you on a Zoom call every day of the week now these days. Just feels like it's never ending. I'm having a wonderful time. This week we talk about my car. We talk about New York City again. We talk about lying.
I talk a lot about trying to figure out if I'm a liar or not.
Yeah, Dipper has another spiral. Welcome to the stage, Dipper Spiral. Anyway, enjoy the episode and have a wonderful week, you bags.
Forever Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspot@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Hi, you sloppy, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you dirty, nasty little fucks. It's Meatball and Big Dipper. Welcome to Sloppy Seconds with Meatball and Big Dipper. Big Dipper is now currently showing me, oh, that's the song. It's the Saweetie video where she's putting a ranch and Crocs in a microwave, and then it comes out with a bunch of like hamburgers and hot dogs and corn and stuff on the croc. Do I want those? Absolutely. Yes. Is it going to be impossible to get them? Yes.
Sure.
Remember when the KFC ones came out and I woke up early and they had that stupid online thing where you had to like check in and then you waited and waited and waited and waited, and I waited 2 hours for them to be like sold out.
Girl, they
sold
got
out.
You, girl.
They got me. And I would have rocked those little chicken, fried chicken crocs.
Girl, does Saweetie even make music anymore? I mean, shout out to her.
Whoever is running her.
Yeah, that's what Pet Shop Boys said, right?
Yeah.
You saw that?
That person needs a raise because they are getting her all the deals.
Girl, the McDonald's meal. I don't even like McDonald's, but I was like, oh, Saweetie wants me to get a Big Mac with chicken nuggets and fries.
Yeah, but did you see that video of her eating it and being like, It's like, I don't even think she eats McDonald's anymore.
What is the thing with Trisha Paytas and the way that she says,
Daddy, I don't know. I'm not sure we should talk about her anymore. She's come under fire again, and she's really going through it. And it's that situation where it's like, sometimes it's best to just remove yourself from the internet. But then again, I understand that her whole thing is like, when conflict is happening, she makes more money.
Right. And what's interesting about that is it's almost like, okay, not to be a doctor and a psychologist, but it's almost like a codependent, I don't want to say abusive, but dysfunctional relationship. Because the idea, what are you saying?
I'm still just eating my breakfast. I've had hectic morning.
We'll hear about it. It's the kind of thing where you're like, okay, so the internet causes you so much drama. When Trisha Paytas is sobbing into the camera and like crying about awful things that are going on with her, I don't think that's not genuine. I think she's actually feeling those emotions and she's feeling that distraught. But I feel like other people, once that happened to them once, they would be like, okay, I need to remove myself from this situation. But it's that thing that you said. It's like, she drives a Rolls Royce. She has a mansion. She makes so much money on all of her sites and paid sites. And like, her whole job is to be on the internet. So her livelihood, also not to be a capitalist, but her livelihood and her expensive lifestyle are all paid from her internet presence. So even though she's truly, honestly feeling as hurt and distraught as she is, she will always make it public and put it on the internet because it pays her bills.
Absolutely. Sorry, I know people don't like
it. You don't care at all. You're like so much more. What are you eating for breakfast that you're so into?
No, it's just eggs and avocado and like fake bacon on a piece of sourdough bread. But no, I understand that. But it's like, I get that. That's where she gets her attention. But I think that she puts it on. Like, it has to be, you can't like live in that heightened state all the time. There must be a time where she like logs off and she wipes her eyes and she goes, ugh, another cool mil off that video or something. You know what I mean?
I don't believe
that she can live in that heightened state for forever. Like, it has to be a setup. And you know what? To be honest, I miss the days of her just sitting on her kitchen floor crying about, like, tiny things that happened. And, like, eating and mukbanging. Because she doesn't do that anymore. She stopped making videos. You know, she used to make a video, like, almost every day of the week. And now it's, like, maybe once a week.
I think because she's way more stable and she's in, like, a good relationship.
It's clearly that not stability because she's still losing her mind.
I don't know. Let's leave the Trisha Paytas conversation because we don't know about that. But I was speaking to a friend of mine recently who said that they got really upset with someone because they found out that this person was a liar.
And I don't like this, a liar.
What'd you say?
I don't like a liar.
Well, this got me thinking because I know that a lot of people who listen to the show have criticisms of us, specifically my intelligence level and the way
we don't need to go there. We don't need another spiral. The way you and I choose to talk to one another.
But I was thinking about lying and its relationship to storytelling and being like a person who is an entertainer.
Well, yeah. So I think about talk show interviews and how the people in those interviews, they'll tell Jimmy Kimmel like what stories they want to tell.
Right.
And they'll get all set up to do it. But they'll embellish the story because it's like, it's for entertainment value.
Like, I would be horrible in a talk show because you have to tell a story in 3 sentences.
Yes.
Oh, and I God. Can't do you, that.
Yeah, you would fumble. And they...
But, like, okay, so you experienced a rat.
Yes.
In...
Oh, yeah. During our last Tuesday episode, I was living, loving it, saying, like, I feel so good. I love New York. And then, like, literally took a nap, was starting to get ready to go out that night. And when I woke up from my nap, I heard a little rustling. Mm-hmm. And I looked out, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a little black thing go by. And I went, oh, my God, Deb, what are you doing in here? Thinking it was a cat.
Thinking you were at home.
I thought I was at home, and then I was like, I'm not home. And then I looked closer, and it was a giant rat. And it ran across the bedroom, and then it ran into the kitchen, and then I could hear it scurrying around in the garbage for close to an hour. And the whole time it was doing that, I was packing my suitcases. I was getting ready to leave, and it had chewed a hole through the wall, through the drywall.
I mean, welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. Rats are waiting for you.
Everyone's like, wait, but didn't you used to live there? Didn't you used to get rats? No, we had a mouse one time in like 7 years I lived there. I had never had a rat. And this thing was a rat. It was a big old rat.
To you, the rats are taking over.
Yes, absolutely. When I was walking home, and I guess I texted Nicole too while I was out that one night. And I was like, I guess I was always just so drunk that I didn't notice how many rats are in New York.
Well, it's like what in that film, in the great film opus Ratatouille, when the lady like opens the kitchen door and all the rats are like in the room and they like look back at her and she's like, and then gets her gun. Remember the opening of the film?
No, I never saw Ratatouille. The thing about this rat is that it couldn't sit on my head and direct me. It was bigger than my head. It was a big rat.
This is what I was talking about when it comes to lying, right?
Yes.
Because, like, there is a version of that story where the rat gets bigger. And there's a version of that story where, like, the hole is chewed out. And I think normal people... Okay, so
the thing is, I have a picture of the hole.
Okay.
But even the guy, the Airbnb guy goes, must be a big rat if it chewed that hole. And I was like, yeah, it must be a big fucking rat.
Did they give you your money back?
Yes, he gave me a full refund. And then, ooh, should I say it? He gave me $500 to still give him a good review.
Okay, work. I mean, because
and
he
I
was
said,
coming,
my it... silence can be bought. What? I'm just like, I'm breaking my silence right now.
Yeah, but you're not saying, you're not linking, the link to the Airbnb is in the podcast description.
It's a cute Airbnb. I wish you the best if you end up there in Williamsburg.
Yeah, and then he's going to like board up the thing and I mean, overall, you would say the customer service, like, he can't control a rat chewing through the wall.
No, and that's what I told him. I was like, it's not your fault. That I mean, it's New York, baby.
The mutant rats are taking over.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right
back.
What?
Already?
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. You've never seen a mother and son duo like this before. This show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Okay, something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets, and you won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including categories like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, or Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. I was so thrilled when Factor sent us meals to try out. I'm normally very skeptical of prepackaged meals, especially ones you heat in the microwave, but I gotta tell you, they have changed the game. I mean, this is fresh food because it is not frozen. The flavor is outstanding. These are like well put together meals, and the protein, the chicken cutlet, I was convinced it was not going to be enough. That is a hearty, thick slice of chicken breast. Like, there is plenty of food in each Factor meal, and I think this is like an absolute awesome way if you're looking to make a shift, or if you're just looking for some ease in how you prepare your food or how you have lunch on the go. Factor's got it covered. Get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready to eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring, or just get back to working all the time, because that's what I do. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need delivered right to you. Plus, you can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long, so look out for their Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. That's cool. Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. And that's the numbers 50, not the word spelled out. That's code sloppyseconds50 at factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
And we're back.
So, not to beat a... is that an offensive term now?
Beat a dead horse?
Don't call PETA. Okay. Not to just, like, keep talking this out, but I'm just curious. Like, most people have go-to stories. Like, oh, they're at the family reunion and the mom's like, tell the story about the bees, when the bees came and
what's
stung everyone.
Story?
You know what I mean? Like, people have these stories. And I think over time, as you tell those stories, like, you find out where people laugh. You see what is successful about the way you tell the story, and it starts to become, you're like, oh, you've got that great story about your friend Robert from high school. Tell that one, right? We all have that. I think as people who entertain, who do stand-up, who get in front of an audience, like, we analyze that a little more. And I think those stories get embellished more and more.
Where are you? What's the point? What are you trying to get to?
I'm saying that I think that because I'm a people pleaser, whether I'm on stage or not, I begin to like embellish stories. Like by the third time I tell the story about how I was driving home and I almost hit, you know, a cat child that was running across the street, or how I got locked out of my apartment. I had to like crawl in through the window. By the third or fourth time I'm telling that story,
you couldn't fit through a window.
It was a bay window. Do you know what I mean? Like it's in Bella, and then I'm sweating, and then I'm a superhero, and I'm jumping off the roof, and I'm like, am I just like prone to lying?
I don't consider that like that's embellishment. Oh. What? Did I freeze?
No, I'm just saying you don't consider that lying. It's not the truth. I don't consider being
like I was like a superhero crawling through this.
You said,
like,
where is this going? I was Superman and I pretended to land inside a window.
But see, now that was all true. That's the thing. So I also feel like if sometimes like I don't think that that's a lie to embellish a story. I mean, I try not to do that as much anymore. I used to just be like, I used to go off on a tangent.
You just lie.
It was like a lie.
Okay,
but
so
now
here's
I'm like,
perfect...
people will catch you in a lie if you're lying.
But
so
here's
just
a
tell
great
the
example.
Truth and embellish like little portions of it to make them funnier.
You say that you got arrested for assaulting an officer.
That happened.
But what did you actually do? Because when
I slapped his hand away from my drink.
Right. When I hear assaulting an officer, I hear like, I knew that was a police officer and I punched them in the face.
No. They charged me with assaulting an officer because I was
Cops embellish. So the cops embellish.
Yes. Because they're cops. You. Are you taking notes? You've written down notes?
No, just thinking about... I don't know!
I think if you change the history of the story, then that's lying. If you change details of the story, but I think it's different than embellishing details of the story to make it a better story.
Mm.
It's not like I didn't hit the cop and he just like arrested me. I hit the cop. I slapped his hand.
I've just been thinking a lot about... I've been listening to true crime podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when they're
so you're like me now. You like to hear about a murder.
But you know when they interview someone 5 years after and they're like, yeah, I remember when I was pulling out of the driveway, I noticed a person with a purple jacket slowly walking. And I thought that was strange because everyone else was walking really fast. But that purple jacket stood out to me. I'm like, how do you remember anything? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's playing on like people's memory. That's like,
but I'm saying like I don't know that I could actually retell an honest story that wasn't embellished, that my brain didn't fill in the examples. I just think I'd be a bad witness. Ultimately,
don't go to court.
I also don't have pants, so I can't go to court. You have to wear pants.
You have to wear pants. I got out of that jury duty though. I wasn't there for long.
But you had to go down there.
I had to go down there. I had to put on pants.
And what did you say when you went down there?
Something along the lines of, I don't trust cops.
Where's Q?
Well, I didn't have any of my paperwork.
So you just made it difficult.
So wait, I made
did
it very
you
difficult
vote by mail or in person for the mail. California recall?
I mailed it in like 3 weeks ago.
Hmm.
Thank God Governor Newsom didn't
say it all again. Thank the, good
thank
God.
Governor Newsom.
Get a grip.
Give it a goop. Abba boop bop.
Bippity boppity.
Boppity.
Boopity. No, I went to vote by mail, but when I opened my thing, the heat had sealed my envelope shut. So I went in person.
Ooh, that does not sound like fun. Was it a long line? Oh, no.
No one was there. I was the
no one was voting.
But I will say I was pleasantly surprised by the number because it was a big, big number of Democrats who vote. Well, or of just people who voted no in the recall. Who knows if they were all
Democrats.
Yeah, I think
we chose the lesser of two evils, and that's what we had to do right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, it was the significantly lesser than two evils. I know, Gavin, there's a lot of criticism about what Gavin Newsom has done and will continue to do. But everybody else in this recall was nowhere near equipped to hold that office.
You don't think Angeline could have done it? She knows this city inside and out.
It's not a city position. Does she know about Sacramento?
She's never been.
Have you ever been?
To Sacramento?
You know they call it the Shack. No, you did a gig up there. I booked you at a gig up there and you drove up there.
Is there a gay bar there?
Yeah. I think you went up there with Bitch and Abora and shared a hotel room.
No, that never happened.
Okay.
Now you're telling lies.
Now I'm telling.
Now
lies.
You're on here telling
lies.
You can't tell me sweet little lies.
Okay, I saw you on the street yesterday.
Yes, how embarrassing! I was walking.
You were walking. It looked like you were having a tough time walking. Were you? Just kidding.
It was warm.
Were you on the phone?
Yeah, I was talking to my dad.
Got it. And I was screaming your government name out. Across,
but
Los
I had
Feliz
the noise
Boulevard.
Canceling headphones in, so I didn't really hear anything. And I was like, "Did someone yell at me?" And I like looked over, and I was like, "Eh, no." And then I saw your chubby little hand sticking out of your car,
waving. I was
waving,
waving
furiously,
and
then I was like, "Oh, great! He can drive me to pick up my car."
But I was late. I was meeting someone at the park.
What's new? And so I ended up getting to one of the streets and getting on a scooter and riding it.
Oh, you found a scoot.
I did. I'm back on the scooty.
Love it.
Also, on the way back from dropping off my car at the shop, someone in a big, if this is you, please tell me because I was creeped the fuck out. Someone in a big black SUV was honking at me at a gas station because I was riding my scooter and I had accidentally dropped. I had a paper bag with all this cat food and like all my stuff in it, and it had ripped out the bottom. So I was like picking up all the shit that had fallen out of the bag and putting it like under my arm into a plastic bag. And this guy at the gas station was honking at me, and I like was checking, and I was like, I have everything. So then as I was scooting away to head home again, they honked at me again, and I looked over and I could not recognize this person. I could tell they were a fag, and then they started blowing me kisses.
Oh, so just
but I was
lovely...
still like, who the fuck are you? And then I was like, well, at least when I get home, I'll get like some Instagram message or a text message being like, that was me. I saw you on the street. Nothing.
Oh. So I wonder who
you,
it was.
Me too.
Was it
too.
A nice SUV?
It was a Ford.
Okay.
It looked newish. It looked like within the last 5 years.
Okay, well, you got some fans out there in the world.
You know what? Thank you to everybody at Bushwick who came up and told me how much you enjoy the podcast. That was really nice. I was not expecting it. Even the group of people that I was with was like, does that get annoying? And I was like, honestly, no. Like, it's so nice to hear it from people because all I ever get is like negative critiques on the internet. So it's like nice when someone's like, I'm a big fan.
Truly.
In person, to my face.
I will say what I think is interesting, what I realized that...
Well, no one was saying they liked you. It was all, I love you.
I guess what I was thinking was because the podcast is so stripped down, is so sort of an honest version of ourselves on, like, recorded, it feels like more than... I like that dress you were wearing that someone else made. And I like that wig that Fina styled. Yeah. And I like that your performance was great. Oh, that song that you already know and love because a pop star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they can still love you as a performer, but like compliments on the podcast is really nice because it's just
like
you being
you. Yeah, because it's like an unedited version of who I am, which is it feels better than, yeah, you're right. I agree.
So you're lying now because you say unedited?
We do edits. We do edit a little. We do edit. We do give it a little zhuzh here and there if I say something inappropriate.
And you know, you as a person are never one to say something inappropriate.
Absolutely not. Remember that? But we did do a fully unedited episode, and that was a cute time.
That was really fun, but let's be honest. We did edit one thing out.
What? Oh, right at the beginning because we named names.
Uh-huh. And we couldn't
but
do that.
I can't help it if I forget someone's name or if I remember it or if I decide to name somebody something. Anyway, I think right now would be a great time to go to a break. And then we could take phone calls.
Okay.
Okay.
And we're back.
Ooh.
Ooh. Got a little piece of fake bacon stuck in my throat.
This is spicy.
I will say, if you're trying to eat not bacon in the morning, I think Morningstar's fake bacon strips are pretty good. They get crispy. You have to put them with something. You can't eat it straight like bacon. But if you put it on a sandwich, it gives you the crunch. It gives you the salty. It's good.
Morningstar has been around for a while, right? As a company?
Absolutely. But some of their things, I think, actually contain...
I know.
It's not all vegan. Some of it's just vegetarian. So, like, their morning sausages contain milk, I think.
They won an award from PETA in 2014.
Well, good for them.
That could mean something.
Are we all excited for the Dragula reviews that we're going to be doing in a couple weeks?
What?
More about me on October 8th.
Yes.
I can finally talk about it because the trailer is out. I am in one episode of a new show on Netflix called Pretty Smart.
Yes!
I'm in episode 4. It comes out on October 8th to a streaming service. Go watch the trailer. It was a wonderful experience to be a part of. I am in drag for half the episode, and I am out of drag for the other episode.
Are you in the trailer?
No, I'm not in the trailer. Oh. Well, my hand is in the background of one part.
Okay.
But I am not in the trailer.
Meatball, this is so exciting. You are literally on a Netflix show as an actor.
As an actor, not as Meatball. It's so exciting. But this is that thing that I auditioned for like a million times. I did not get the lead role, but they did like me enough to bring me back for a smaller
part. This is really fun.
It looks really good. It looks so HD.
Not... Okay, but can I ask, is this the group of the main actors?
Yes. And yeah, I auditioned for the one on the far right.
Girl, look at these are 20-year-old fucking twink models.
Baby, I made it all the way to audition in front of the network execs. I made it all the way to the top. So I was doing something right.
You wiggled to the top. Wiggle to the top.
And they're all wearing a lot of makeup. And so was you will see, so am I.
You will see. And so am I.
So am I. They also put me in a sweater, and I was hot that day. They had to turn the AC on in the studio until everyone else was cold, and I stopped sweating. It was a good day for me.
I love that. Also, we should just talk about, we have our live show coming up.
Oh, we have a live show at Executive Suite.
Executive Suite. I'm so excited.
In Long Beach. I'm very excited. I heard that Robert, the guy who runs Executive Suite, who is the coolest and nicest guy ever, is actually very excited for us to be there.
Yes.
It's going to be a double feature, so it's very that. And what are you?
I've just logged into the Eventbrite. We announced it yesterday. We already sold a bunch of tickets.
Yay! So yeah. Come on out. Executive Suite is really fun. The first show is at 7, and then that's very that. Mm-hmm. And then our show is at 8:30. You can buy a double feature ticket, which is how much is it?
$24.
Or you can buy individual show tickets, which are $16. May I suggest just buying the double feature and making a night out of it?
Yeah. Because what Robert told me is that if we like sell out the show, then the food people will come.
Oh, and the food is good. Yeah, it's the burrito people that are in the back. Ooh, yeah.
And so they basically the vibe is if you get your double feature ticket, you will show up. You'll get a little table with you and your friends. You can order. They have good burritos and good tacos, and the quesadillas are lovely. All the good food.
And the waiter is open.
Table service, whatever. And then Raja and Delta will do their show, and then we'll take a little break and kick out all the people who don't have the double feature ticket.
And I'll be doing that personally. I will personally be spanking. I'm bringing a paddle.
And then we'll do Sloppy Seconds after. I'm just so excited. I feel like it's just going to be such a fun night. And, you know, it might be ooky spooky because we will be getting ready for our Dragula reviews. It's also Halloween time, so we're calling it Creature Double Feature. Mm-hmm. And, Meatball, we normally book a guest.
Ooh.
So we need to figure out who we're going to book.
Yeah.
Voicemail?
Voicemail. Also, in other me news, I don't have any Halloween gigs. So if you're listening to this right now and you want to book me, of October is open. So I
is there a reparations? Could you go do a Nikki Jizz? You should go back to something. San Francisco.
I am going back to San Francisco for Folsom Weekend. I will be there the 25th and 26th or 26th and 27th of this month.
September?
Yes.
Okay, work.
So if you have any fun daytime stuff to do at Folsom.
You'll catch me on the cover of Gloss Magazine.
Oh, do you want me to grab you a couple?
They're mailing me some.
So I'll grab a couple and burn them.
They sent me an email. They were like, hey, the interview you did is going to be on the cover. Do you want? And I was like, oh, cool. And then he sent me the cover. It's these like beautiful models being like in leather for Folsom Weekend on the cover. And then there's like a tiny little picture of me like interview inside. And I was like, oh, this is.
Oh, you didn't. I thought I was going to be the cover girl.
I didn't make the cover.
That would have been. But you know what? You've already been on too many covers. You've already been on too many covers.
Okay, work. Have you seen the TikToks of like mechanics opening up panels and walnuts pouring out of cars because the squirrels burrow in and leave all the walnuts?
They opened my hood. Sorry, I'm eating, everybody. They opened my hood and there was a bunch of the because you know my street is palm like lined with palm trees. There was a bunch of those nuts sitting on top of the engine.
And she was like, so someone brought those inside.
They were like, there's a squirrel or something hoarding its stuff in your engine. And I was like, well, when I used to live on Skid Row, there were rats that lived in my engine and they ate my engine apart because the Ford engines used to be made with a soy-based wiring coating, which was technically edible for rats and animals. So they would eat your engine.
Ooh, is that sex talk?
Oh, girl, eat this engine.
Oh, eat this fucking engine.
Ew, not fucking. Okay.
Not us just complaining about my car and then like being booked on a tour and not getting. Like, what is wrong with me? I should be happy that I'm at least doing stuff.
You're alive, honey. You're alive.
I'm alive.
Hi, I'm calling from Dublin, Ireland. No idea if this is going to get through. We love to roll the dice. I've been living for all of the Jessie J discussion recently. And I have to point out that when Jessie J went to China to do that reality TV show Singer, the whole premise of that show is that it's already famous singers who are like famous in their, well, mainly China, who go there to compete. So like she did have some kind of fame. Like that's kind of why she went. Also, like I think she has like personal beef with the college that I went to. I went to Trinity College Dublin, and there's like this big story from before I went there where like she went up on stage and was really horrified at everyone being drunk. I haven't really looked into it, but like everyone in my college used to say like, we hate Jessie J. Anyway, hope you're having a good day. Enjoy.
Here's the thing. I'm going to stand by my original statement. I don't care if it is a TV show for celebrities to go compete on. She is still a who.
Who behavior.
That is who behavior.
Down in Whoville.
Had she gone on to America's Got Talent or whatever, The Voice or whatever Ariana Grande is doing, that is themy behavior. Because it's like, I'm already so established, let me collect my $5 million an episode or whatever. They are not competing.
Pop star Jessie J has said she was shocked to see many people so drunk they could not even stand at a university gig. The singer tweeted
shortly
after,
welcome to university,
coming off stage at Trinity College in Dublin, that it was probably one of her hardest gigs to date. She said girls were unconscious and people were literally trampling one another. Jessie J does not drink because of a medical condition. You know, it makes sense to me that she's never drunk or like faded. The singer, who was recently voted as the BBC Sound of 2011, okay, so this is a little dated, later posted, I'm not upset they weren't all listening. I'm upset to see so many young people so out of it. I'm not used to it. It's hard to sing when I just wanted to go into the crowd and help all the crying girls who were being squashed. That's hard. I was shocked at how intoxicated they were, and I was genuinely worried for them. Okay, well, caller? Is your university just a big drinking spot?
It's basically the Arizona state of the, where did you say he was from? Ireland?
Work. Okay. Let's listen to another one.
You get that? Because Arizona state is a mess.
Hi.
Hey, did you get that joke?
My name's Abby. Big fan of the show.
Hi, Abby.
I need to give an update on a voicemail I left another day because I think it's just really great evidence about how terrible straight men are.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, so when I called in, I had gone on two dates with this guy who said that he really liked me, wanted to see me again. We hooked up. It was great. Then I went on a work trip to California. He ends up ghosting me. But he still had my Tupperware from a date when we cooked together. And so I was annoyed because I wanted my Tupperware back. Tupperware is expensive. And so after he hadn't texted me for a week, I was like, hey, if you're going to ghost me, can you at least give me my Tupperware back? And so he texted me back and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I left it outside of your apartment. And what? I get home, and there's this note inside this Tupperware container that says, Abby, I'm really sorry I ghosted you. I hope you can find one person who will value your time more. I really enjoyed watching Legally Just Blonde and learning your culinary skills. So, yeah, that's what it's like dating in your early 20s as a straight woman. Okay, bye.
Abby, there's a lot to unpack here.
I really enjoyed watching Legally Blonde and seeing your culinary skills. Was that a drag?
Girl, I don't know.
Okay, here's my question, because I've done a very similar thing, but it was the opposite way around, so it's not similar at
all. Okay.
But there was a guy that I was seeing who ghosted me, but I had an object of his, and I said, you know what I'll do? So that I can see him, is that I will go to him and give him back this thing.
Oh, okay.
Just to talk to him, just to have the chance. Of course, he didn't answer the door, but I knew he was home. But he didn't answer the door. But I knew he was home! But I feel like, Abby, maybe he was doing the right thing by, like, giving you your Tupperware back. But sometimes in a game like this with straight men, I feel like it's best just to cut your losses and buy new Tupperware and move on.
I mean, it's weird to me that the ghosting of like, hey, are you around? Hey, are you around? Hey, I haven't heard from you gets no response. But saying, can I at least have my Tupperware back gets a response. Like that sort of like, it's like they're not going to, they won't respond to human emotion, but they will respond to a 50-cent piece of Tupperware that they'll drive across town and like return on your doorstep.
With a nice note. It's like, how hard would that have been, dude?
From jump. I would rather just be like, hey, I don't see this moving forward, but I enjoyed eating your engine and your food and watching Legally Blonde.
Yeah, I ate that engine.
All right, let's take a quick
vroom,
break.
Vroom, baby. Is it time for another break?
Uh-huh.
And okay. We're back.
Did you see that Wicked reopened on Broadway?
Yes, and it was wild. I did look into staying an extra day to go. It
just one actually short day?
Two you extra would have days. Just one, it would have been two extra days. One short, two long short days in New York City. But the tickets were beyond sold out. Like, oh, yeah. Beyond. They were even like, there's not even going to be, there's no, what is that thing where you would line up at TKTS?
The lottery or will
the lottery tickets. They're like, there are no lottery tickets. This is a completely sold out show, has been for months.
This is a completely sold out show. You will be in the bottom two.
How about there when you're on a flight and they go, it's going to be a very full flight today. So everyone, please put your stuff beneath. And then like I was on the plane the other day and I had an open seat next to me, a whole row next to me.
They say that every time.
It's going to be a very full flight.
You know what, Divas, it's going to be a full flight, so we're going to need you to not act like an asshole. That's why they're saying it.
What is it with people who act like they've never been on a plane?
Class. No class.
Let's hear another voicemail.
Hi, Sloppy Seconds. So I'm just leaving from a hookup. Had a really bad night at work, and some random guy on Grindr hit me up and was like, hey, I'm gonna come over, 69, all that love. And I'm like, yeah, sure, that'd be fun. Nice little, you know, toast for the evening. Okay, anyways, it led into anal eventually, but the guy didn't have any lube. So he said he had coconut oil for some reason, which I was like, okay, I'm horny. I'll bottom with this. Turns out it was coconut oil with little exfoliant beads in it, to which I was not aware of.
No,
And I only found that out afterwards because he told me that I was bleeding from down there. So I'm driving home. I'm going to go check myself
from
out
my
in here.
Between me down
I'm
there.
I'm going to die bleeding. Goodbye.
No, Meatball, you spoke over the...
He told me that I was bleeding
from
down there. So I'm driving home. I'm going to go check myself out in the mirror, and hopefully I'm not going to die bleeding. Goodbye.
He's driving home.
From the hookup.
Go to an urgent care.
Fuck. Okay, that's obviously... Listen, virgin coconut oil with no exfoliant beads...
It's okay.
Great, fine, easy, good lube. That's oil, girl.
Why do we let Tops get away with this kind of behavior? Because if it was me and I had touched it and felt it, I'd be like, this isn't going in me. There's something beady on it. I'm assuming that he did not feel it. I'm assuming the top was like, I have this, and was like, I'll take care of it. But shouldn't the top also be like, this is uncomfortable for my wiener?
Girl, some tops are just, I mean, it's like, it's that meme come to life. It's that meme of like a man standing in a pile of trash and it says, tops be like, I can host. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
The expectation we put, I spoke on a panel recently about anal sex, and there was a lot of conversation about, like, someone was talking about a bottom diet, and a person said, well, I don't like to eat for about 8 hours before I bottom. And another person on the panel called them out.
I say like 4.
But another person called them out and was like, don't you see how wild that is? Like, how damaging that is? Like, just for you to feel confident and comfortable in having sex in a way that feels good, you deprive yourself of food for 8 hours. And obviously someone could respond with like, well, you know, intermittent fasting exists, like 8 hours. If you schedule your food and you have the right intake or protein or whatever, it's like that sort of amount when you're not eating is not horrible, or it doesn't feel like abusive to your own body. But it is just a wild thing, the amount of stuff bottoms go through. And when a bottom is hosting, you come to their house and it's like clean and amazing. And they like clean the, not only their body out, but their sheets and their this and their that and everything. It's like, oh, you've done all this. And the top is like, let me put this like.
Let me put my sweaty dick that I didn't wash inside you.
Right. And let me put this sandpaper lube up your ass. So while you're driving home, you might be bleeding out your butt and you're calling us to let us know about that.
But in your opinion, do you believe that? I mean, I believe that the top should host and that the top should have like a bevy of things that are bottom friendly at all times.
I disagree only because I feel like it's the, I mean, whoever can host, literally whoever wants to can host. But I sort of think like, oh, if you're cleaning out, don't you want to like be at your home and then be like, you're doing all that prep work. The other person should have to get in a car and drive. I hate hosting because I don't want someone in my space. I much prefer to go to someone else's place. I know some people like it because they don't have to travel.
Oh.
What?
We didn't talk about it. I finally went and saw your apartment. Speaking about being in your space, and you were dealing with two people on a podcast, so I really just walked around like I owned the place.
Yeah, I was on a podcast, and I muted myself. I was, like, overseeing it, and you came over, and you were here for all of 15 minutes, and then you found out your power came back on, so you drove back home.
That's the type of thing that we do for you. When my electricity went off, I didn't say we're canceling an episode, play an old rerun, let's do hot clips. I said, let me figure out what to do. And I got in my car and I drove over to your house. And then I found out literally 15 minutes after being there that the electricity came back on.
Okay, so thought. I have a lot of, not shame. I just like, I feel like my apartment is that of a 20-year-old and I'm a grown-up and I should like,
always
have
say
some
this. I don't know.
Design
I mean,
element to it. And it's just so, it's just like, there's a shelf of stuff. My bike's in the kitchen. There's kind of a couch. Like,
we also,
what do I do?
Currently, one, you said you don't like people in your personal space. So work. Thank you for letting me in. Two, we are still technically like in a pandemic. Like when the pandemic hit, I kind of stopped decorating. Cause I was like, until people start coming over, it's like, who is it for? Me? So I don't think I would give you any style advice except for maybe like less of your counter space in the kitchen should be taken up by pills. What are all those pills? There's just boxes and boxes of vitamins. Are you in an MLM? Why are there so many pills? Different sizes?
Pills and potions. I'm overdosing. You remember that Nicki song?
Yes, I do remember that Nicki song.
The pills are pretty simple. There's like a glucosamine chondroitin. There's a fiber supplement. There's, you know, just Tylenol if you need it. There's Truvada is there. There's a brain supplement, and then there's the package of the hair loss stuff that I haven't yet used. Someone said it's gonna make me impotent.
Yes, so you can't be given those. Have you hooked up with that person who has the multiple anal orgasms
again? No, he texted me. I need to text him back.
He's trying to get that
so busy
hole ripped again.
Oh,
he's trying to get his engine licked.
Yeah, well, girl. Well, we did it, Meatball.
This has been a wonderful episode. Really talked about me a lot, which I know you guys like. So we're excited for our next guest on Tuesday. If you're interested in, or Friday, if you're interested in listening, go ahead and like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode. Don't forget to call with your fuck talk story to 213-536.
Okay.
9180. Ooh. That was crisp. You can go ahead and email us at sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't ever miss an episode. You can follow us on Instagram at sloppypod or Spicy's Meatball or Big Dipper Jelly or me on Twitter at Fat Drag Meatball. And to the one person who thinks that we forgot what the Boulay brothers' names are, I did. Goodbye. Doodle-a-doot-doot forever. Dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.